بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء المرسلين مولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد. Last week we finished off when Abu Bakr رضي الله عنه was giving the advice to the army of Osama bin Zayd رضي الله عنه. And Osama bin Zayd at that time was a teenager. And the Prophet ﷺ made him in charge of an army which was all the Islamic warriors were in this army. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was the Khalif. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was walking and Osama bin Zayd, who was a teenager, was riding. And Osama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu said, O Khalifa of the Messenger, either you ride or I descend. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, I swear by Allah, you will not descend nor will I ride. And what's wrong with me getting my feet dusty in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? For a man who takes one step in the path of Allah, Allah forgives 700 sins and he elevates his station by 700 stages. 700 stages. See, this was a man who understood the qadr and the value of doing good actions. Because he understood that every action that you will do, you will see it on the day of judgment. And therefore he wanted every act, his action to count by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Although before this on a number of occasions he had been guaranteed Jannah. Upon occasion the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after the salah, he turned around and he said, Man asbaha minkum al-yawma sa'iman. He said, who is fasting from you this morning? And Abu Bakr stood up and he said, Ana ya Rasulullah. He said, me, O Messenger of Allah. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Man aada minkum al-yawma maridhan. He said, who has visited a sick person from amongst you? And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu stood up and he said, me, O Messenger of Allah. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Man at'ama minkum al-yawma miskinan. He said, who has fed a poor person today? And nobody stood up. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu stood up and he said, me, O Messenger of Allah. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, who has followed a janazah today? And nobody stood up. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu stood up and he said, me, O Messenger of Allah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever has all these qualities in him, there is no abode for him but Jannah, that he will go straight to Jannah. And let me tell you about another narration. Upon another occasion, it was after the Fajr Salah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam turned around and he said, who is fasting today? And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, me, O Messenger of Allah. And then he said, who has visited a sick person? And Umar ibn Khattab said, O Messenger of Allah, it's Fajr. We just prayed Fajr. We just woke up. Who could have visited a sick person? And Abu Bakr said, me, O Messenger of Allah, because I heard Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu was ill. And on my way to the masjid, I visited him. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, who has fed a poor person this morning? And Umar radiallahu anhu said, Messenger of Allah, we just woke up. It's Fajr Salah. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, oh me, O Messenger of Allah, for I was coming into the masjid and I had a child with me who had some bread, and there was a miskeen, a poor person, and he asked for something, and I took that bread and I gave it to him. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, glad tidings for you, O Abu Bakr, for your abode is Jannah. Your abode is Jannah. See, these were people who understood the value of good actions. They understood the value of every single moment of your life. On the day of judgment will come in front of you. Every single moment, every blade of grass that you have walked upon will either give a witness for you or against you on the day of judgment. Every single moment of your life. And these were people whose iman dictated that they understood this. Because this was the strength of their iman. So the next day Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he left to go to the marketplace because Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was a trader. And Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu and Abu Baydat ibn Jarrah, they saw him and they said, Abu Bakr, where are you going? And they said, I'm going to the marketplace. And they said, what about the affairs of the Muslims? He said, what about feeding my own children? See, he was Amir al-Mu'mineen. He could take from the Baytul Mal. Nobody would stop him. Nobody could stop him. But this was his taqwa. And they said, let's go to the Baytul Mal and we'll allocate you a wage. And when they went to the Baytul Mal and they allocated them wage, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, no, I swear by Allah, I will not take a penny until I gather all the eminent Sahaba and they agree. And he gathered all the eminent Sahaba and he said, this is what has been allocated for me. Do you agree? When they agreed, only then did Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu take this wage. And it was a meager wage. It was a meager wage. He could just get by upon this wage. And see, you must understand the circumstances what occurred after the demise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What happened was that the entire Arab peninsula rebelled. Then there was only three places which did not rebel: Makkah, Medina and Taif. These were the only three places. Besides that, the entire Arab peninsula rebelled. And Makkah was also about to rebel. And there was a Sahabi radiallahu anhu called Suhail ibn Amr. And Suhail ibn Amr was known to be very eloquent. And when Makkah was about to rebel, he gave a khutbah which kept all of Makkah together. See, Suhail ibn Amr, on the occasion of Sulh al-Hudaybiyah, he was the ambassador on behalf of the mushrikeen. And when the Prophet ﷺ was dictating the letter to Ali radiallahu anhu, and he said, Ali, write Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And Suhail ibn Amr, who was a mushrik on that time, he said, Bismillahir Rahim. He said, we don't understand any Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Cross out Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. And they crossed out Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. And then when they sealed the letter, the Prophet ﷺ told Ali radiallahu anhu, he said, oh Ali, write Muhammad Rasulullah. And he wrote Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Suhail ibn Amr said, he said, oh Muhammad, if we had recognized you as being the Rasulullah, then we wouldn't have this problem. Cross out the word Rasulullah. And the Prophet ﷺ turned to Ali radiallahu anhu and he said, oh Ali, cross out the word Rasulullah. And Ali radiallahu anhu, for the first time and the last time in his life, refused to obey the Prophet ﷺ. And he said, oh Messenger of Allah, they may not regard you as the Messenger of Allah, but I do. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, oh Ali, give me the pen. And Ali, he gave Ali the Prophet ﷺ the pen, and then Prophet ﷺ said, oh Ali, show me where it says the word Rasulullah. And Ali radiallahu anhu held the hand of the Prophet ﷺ, and he took it over the word Rasulullah, and the Prophet ﷺ crossed it out. So this was Suhail ibn Amr, who gave the Muslims and the Prophet ﷺ a very difficult time. And upon occasion in a battle, they captured Suhail ibn Amr, and they brought him to the Prophet ﷺ. And the Sahaba remembered the difficult time that he gave the Muslims. And no other than Umar ibn Khattab, he came to the Prophet ﷺ and he said, oh Messenger of Allah, give me permission to remove his head from his body. And the Prophet ﷺ said no. Then Umar radiallahu anhu said, then oh Messenger of Allah, allow me at least to knock out his bottom teeth. So when he talks, his tongue will hang out and people will laugh at him. And the Prophet ﷺ said, we are a group of people who do not deform people. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, لَعَلَّهُ يَقُومُ مَقَامًا لَا نَقْرَهُ. He said, maybe he will stand in a place which we will not dislike. A day will come that he will be in a position that we will not dislike. And then when all of Makkah was about to rebel, there was confusion. Suhail ibn Amr radiallahu anhu, who embraced Islam on the Fateh Makkah, stood up and he gave a very beautiful and very eloquent khutbah. And the Sahabi radiallahu anhu mentioned that it was as though that he had heard the khutbah of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, which Abu Bakr gave in Medina, when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu stood up after the demise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, "Man kana ya'budu Muhammadan fa inna Muhammadan qad mat, wa man kana ya'budu Allah fa inna Allah hayyun la yamut." He said, "Whoever worshipped the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then let him know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has moved on to his Lord. And whoever worshipped Allah, then let him know that Allah is alive and death does not befall Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." And the Sahaba mentioned that it was as though that he had actually heard the talk of Abu Bakr, which was in Medina and he was in Makkah. And Suhail ibn Amr, he stood up and he gave a khutbah which kept all the Muslims in Makkah together. And when the news reached Umar radiallahu anhu, Umar radiallahu anhu said, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is his messenger. Because what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had said, that maybe a day will come that Suhail will stand in a place which we will not dislike. And today that had come to pass. And he said, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is the true messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And really the rebellion was really of three kind of basic forms. One was that lot of new prophets popped up. All over the place there were new prophets, because they saw that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in a period of 23 years, he became the leader of all the Arabs. So they thought that this is an easy way to prominence. Just say, I'm a Nabi. The second was that there were a group of people who said that they would not pay the zakat. They would remain upon the deen, but they would not repay the zakat. And the third were that which would not recognize Medina as the Darul Khilafah. And by this time, the army of Osama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu had been dispatched. And the army of Osama bin Zayd was the army which had all the warriors of Islam in it. And the Sahaba became very concerned because Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said he's going to fight every single one of them. Whoever rebels in any form, he's going to fight them. And they came to Umar ibn Khattab and they said, "Oh Umar, have a word with Abu Bakr. What's he doing? The army of Osama bin Zayd has been dispatched. We have no warriors in Medina." And Abs and Zibyan were two very big tribes. They were about to attack Medina. And tell him, look, it's not a very big matter. People are not ready to pay their zakat. And Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, he went to Abu Bakr and he said, "Oh Bakr, why wage war upon everybody? It's not that much an issue if people are not ready to pay zakat. And how do you justify fighting them?" When the Prophet ﷺ said, "Umirtu an uqatil an-nasa hatta yaqulu la ilaha illallah. Faman qala la ilaha illallah faqad asima minni maluhu wa nafsu illa bihaqqihi wa hisabuhu allallah." He said, although the Prophet ﷺ said that I've been commanded to fight the people until they say la ilaha illallah. And whoever says la ilaha illallah, then his blood and his life and his wealth is sacred unto me. Unless he does not fulfill the rites of la ilaha illallah. So Umar radiallahu anhu is saying, look, these people are reciting la ilaha illallah. So what if they're not paying zakat? And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, you have not understood the hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, illa bihaqqihi. Unless he does not fulfill the rites of la ilaha illallah. If a man refuses to pay zakat, then he has not fulfilled the rights of la ilaha illallah. If any man refuses to pay zakat, then he has not fulfilled the rights of la ilaha illallah. And then he said, I swear by Allah, if a person differentiates between zakat and salah, I will fight him. He said, I swear by Allah, if a man holds back a string of zakat which he gave in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I will fight him. He said, can the deen be decreased and Abu Bakr is still alive? And then he said, I swear by Allah, if all of you forsake me, I will fight them by myself. And then he said, oh Umar, a jabbarun fil jahiliyyah wa khawarun fil Islam. He said, oh Umar, you were courageous in jahiliyyah and you've become a coward in Islam. And Umar radiallahu anhu said, when he explained this to me, I understood that Allah had opened his heart. And Allah had given him true realization. And Abu Raja mentions that when I came into Medina, I saw a man kissing another man. And this man was saying, if it was not for you, I would have been destroyed. And I asked, who's the man kissing and who's the man being kissed? And they said, the man who is kissing is Umar ibn Khattab and the man who is kissing is Abu Bakr. And he's saying, if it was not for you, Abu Bakr, we would have all been destroyed. And many of the Salaf would say that if it was not for Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, that maybe today we would have not had zakat in our deen because of his sacrifice. He stood up for the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing made him waver. He was strong for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the smallest issue happens, and you look at our state, the smallest issue happens, the hijabs are off, the beards are off. And everybody starts shaking and quivering. This is the state of our iman. And all the excuses under the sun are given. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he left with a small army at night. And he attacked Abs and Zubyan. The army who had decided to attack Medina because they understood that whoever took Medina would rule the Muslims. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu attacked him by night. And he took him by surprise and he defeated him. And then after Abs and Zubyan, there was a greater problem. And this was the problem of the false prophets. And you had prophets popping up everywhere. You had Al-Aswad Al-Unsi. He was a prophet, but he passed away. You had Tulayha. Tulayha was a man who had great enmity for the Muslims. When the Muslims were defeated at the Battle of Uhud, Tulayha took an army and he wanted to finish off the Muslims. And when the Prophet ﷺ heard that Tulayha is coming, he sent an army to fight him. And when Tulayha saw that Muslim was still strong, then he retreated. And then on the Battle of Khandaq, he sided with the Mushrikeen to fight the Muslims. And on the Battle of Khaybar, he sided with the Yahud to fight the Muslims. And every occasion that he could find, he would cite against the enemies of Islam to fight against them. And then, when his tribe became Muslims, the ulama write, for convenience sake, he also became a Muslim. But a few days before the demise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he claimed that he was a prophet. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu sent Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu to deal with him. And Khalid radiallahu anhu attacked him. And one of his chief generals was a man called Uyayna, who was in charge of the Bani Faraza tribe. And when Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu attacked them, they were pushed back and they had heavy losses. And Uyayna came to Tulayha and he said, O Messenger of Allah, has Jibreel descended upon you? And he said, no, not yet, carry on fighting. And then Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu attacked again and they suffered heavy losses again. And he went back to Tulayha and he said, O Messenger of Allah, has anybody descended upon you? Has Jibreel come to you? See, Jibreel had lost the way. And he said, no, nothing, carry on fighting. And then Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu attacked again and he pushed them back again and they had heavy losses. And then he went, O Messenger of Allah, has Jibreel revealed anything to you? He said, yes, Jibreel just came to me. And he said, this is a day that you will never forget. And Uyayna said, you are an imposter. And Uyayna withdrew his men. And Tulayha jumped upon his horse with his wife on the back. And his men came to him and they said, O Messenger of Allah, where are you going? And he said, leg it. He said, scarpa, for this is a day that you will never forget. And without a doubt, the day that you encounter the sword of Allah is a day that no man will ever forget. This is a day that no man would forget. And the amazing thing was about Tulayha, he became a Muslim. And then on the Battle of Qadisiyah, which was a battle where the Muslims defeated the superpower of the day, the Persians. The Muslims were 32,000 men and the Persians were over 100,000 men. And Tulayha embraced Islam and he fought in this battle and he was one of the heroes of this battle. And Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, he set prizes for the heroes of this battle and they gave Tulayha, who had done tawbah and embraced Islam, they gave him a reward for his sacrifices on that day. He was one of the heroes. And then there was a woman called Shuja. She said, she's a prophet. Then she did tawbah and she became a true Muslim. And then there was the worst prophet, the false prophet. And this was Musaylimah ibn al-Kadhab. Musaylimah the liar. And he was a man who had 40,000 men. He had already defeated the army of Ikrimah and Shurahbil. And then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu unleashed upon him the sword of Allah, Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. And Khalid bin Walid only had 13,000 men. And they attacked the army of Musaylimah. And this was the most ferocious battle that the Muslims had ever fought until that day. And the Muslims had heavy losses. And then the Muslims thought the only way to win this battle is to kill Musaylimah. And Wahshi, the man who killed Hamza radiallahu anhu on the Battle of Uhud, he was a man that was well known that when he would throw his spear, he would not miss his target. And he looked for Musaylimah and he threw his spear at Musaylimah and it hit Musaylimah and Abu Dujana removed his head from his body. And with 13,000 men, Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu defeated an army of 40,000 men. And Wahshi would say that in Jahiliyyah, I killed the best of people. And Islam, I killed the worst of people, which was Musaylimah. And what happened is upon this battle, this was known as the Battle of Yamama. Muslims had heavy losses. And there was a brigade which had all of 1,000 men and which had all the huffars, the hafizes in this brigade. And half of them died. And Umar radiallahu anhu became very concerned. He said, if the Muslim hafizes carry on dying like this and the expeditions have just started, then there's a possibility that we will lose the Quran. So what we need to do is compile the Quran in one book. See, until then, the Quran was written on leaves, on bones, and people had memorized it. And he came to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and he said, Abu Bakr, let's gather the Quran in one book because the huffars are all dying. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, he said, how can I do that thing which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't do? And Umar radiallahu anhu said, in this is khair, Abu Bakr. And Umar radiallahu anhu mentioned, I went back and again and again again to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu until I finally convinced him. And Abu Bakr said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened my heart and I saw the khair in this. And then they went to a sahabi called Zayd ibn Sabit radiallahu anhu. And this was a sahabi who was known that he had never lied in his life. And from his virtues was that Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam would descend upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam in every Ramadan. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam would read the entire Quran to him. And in the final year of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam descended. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam recited the Quran to him twice. And Zayd ibn Sabit was there when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam recited the Quran the second time. So he heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam recite the Quran, and he was also one of the scribes of wahi. And Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhu, they came to Zayd ibn Sabit and they said, oh Zayd, we want to compile the book, the Quran in one book, and you are the man to do this. And Zayd ibn Sabit radiallahu anhu mentions, how can I do a thing which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam didn't do? And then they went back to him again and again until finally they convinced him. And Zayd radiallahu anhu mentioned, this shows their taqwa. He says, I swear by Allah, it would have been easier for me if they had asked me to move a mountain from its place than to compile the book of Allah. Why? Because they were scared that if they ascribed anything false to Allah and His Rasul, they would be answerable on the Day of Judgment. And this is why Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had a hadith. He had a number of narrations from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the narrations mentioned that one night he was very uneasy. Why? Because he heard the narration where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Man kadhaba alayya muta'ammidan falyatabawwa maq'adu min an-nar." He said, whoever attributes a false lie to me intentionally, then his abode is Jahannam. And he gathered all these ahadith and he burned them. He burnt all these ahadith because he was scared that he may attribute something to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam which wasn't true. And let me tell you the ilm of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, one night I saw a dream that I was drinking milk and I drank it until I was full. And I saw the milk running through my body. And then the leftover I gave to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And the Sahaba said, does this milk mean ilm? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, yes. And I drank it until I was full. And then he gave the leftover to who? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. But even then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was cautious. He was cautious. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the milk that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam drank himself, he gave to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. But even then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was cautious. And you look at our state. You don't have to be practicing for 6 months to start giving out fatwas, to debating with Muslims, to calling other Muslims kafirs. Why? Because we don't understand the weight of what we are doing. People like Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu did. And this is why they were very cautious. Upon occasion, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was asked the meaning of the word faqiha wa abba. He said, I know what the meaning of faqiha means, but I don't know what the meaning of abba means. And then he said, ayyu sama'in tudhilluni wa ayyu ardin tuqilluni law qultu fi kitabillahi ma la a'lam. He said, which sky will shelter me? Which earth will bear me if I say anything regarding the book of Allah which I don't know? This was a man which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave over the milk of ilm. So Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu mentioned, I swear by Allah, it would have been easier if they told me to remove a mountain from its place than to compile the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But look how they compiled the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the procedure that they took. That you had to hear it directly from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then you had to write it down. And then you had to recite it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then there must be two witnesses to this. You must hear it directly from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then you must recite it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you must write it down in the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there must be two witnesses. And then you must be a person of an upright character. This is the caution that they took. Although there were many hafizes there, many people who knew the Quran off by heart, but this is the caution that they took. Because they were concerned that if they attributed anything wrong to Allah and His Rasul, they would be answerable on the Day of Judgment. And this book, this Quran, stayed with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu as long as he lived. And then it was given to Umar ibn Khattab, and he kept it as long as he lived. And then it was given to Hafsa radiallahu anha. And in the time of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, this was the time when the Quran was compiled for the first time. Before this, there was no book of Allah. There was no one particular book. The Quran was written on certain small pages, on leaves, on bones. This is how the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was. It was scattered, and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu brought the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala together. See, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is not very well known for his fatuhat, for his conquests. But the reality is that it was in the time of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu that the conquest began. And the reality is that the Salaf mentioned that the most difficult Khalifat was the time of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Because in the time of Umar, Uthman and Ali radiallahu anhu, Islam was expanding. Whilst in the time of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he had to keep the Muslims together. This was the early time, this was the time after the demise of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In 13 Hijrah, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu became ill. And he remained ill for a period of 13 to 15 days. They give two reasons for why Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu fell ill and his final death. One was that he had a bath and he got a chill. And as a consequence, he fell ill. And he became very feverish. The other is that he was poisoned many years before this. And the impact of that poison affected him now. And this is why there were two other Sahabis, Harith bin Qaladah and Atab bin Sa'id radiallahu anhum, who were poisoned with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and they died at the similar time that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu died. And the narration mentioned that when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu became very ill, he called the Sahaba, the eminent Sahaba, and he said, "I am close to death, so now you take your bayah back. Now you have no Khalifa." And they said, "Choose a Khalifa from amongst you." And the Sahaba radiallahu anhu went back and they began to think about a Khalif. Who would be the next Khalif? But they couldn't unite on anybody. There was not one person that they could unite upon. And then they came back to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and they said, "Oh, Abu Bakr, there's not one person that we can unite. You choose." So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, "Give me a few days." And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu called Abdurrahman ibn Auf. And he said, "Oh, Abdurrahman ibn Auf, what do you say about Umar ibn Khattab?" And Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu said, "Oh Abu Bakr, whatever you think about Umar ibn Khattab, he is better than that. Whatever perception you have regarding him, he is better than that. But he has only one shortcoming, and that is that he's a bit harsh. He's a bit harsh." And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, "I've noticed that whenever I'm harsh in a matter, Umar is soft. And whenever I'm soft, he is harsh, because he wants to keep me in moderation." And then he called Uthman radiallahu anhu. He said, "Uthman, what do you say about Umar?" And he said, "You know Umar better than I do." And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, "But I want to know your opinion." He said, "Umar is good from the outside. He's very good from the outside. But I swear by Allah, his inner is even better than his outer. His inner state is even better than his outer state." And then the rumor spread around Medina that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is going to choose Umar ibn Khattab as the next Khalif. And some began to shake and quiver, because this was a man with a history. And they came to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and they said, "Abu Bakr, we heard you're going to choose Umar ibn Khattab. Don't you know he's harsh?" He said, "Fear Allah. What will you say to Allah on the day of judgment?" And the narrations mentioned that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he was lying down and he said, "Make me sit up." He said, "Don't you think I know that I will be answerable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Are you telling me to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And really, how could you tell a man like Abu Bakr to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?" Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was a man who was guaranteed Jannah on a number of occasions. On a number of occasions. And even then he would say, he would see a blade of grass and he said, "I wish I was that blade of grass." He would see a bird and he would say, "I wish I was that bird." And Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu would say, "That I wish that I was a hair on the body of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu." So my desire is to be a hair on the body of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And they are telling Abu Bakr to fear Allah. Let me tell you about the taqwa of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. The taqwa of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was such that he had a slave who would earn some money and then he would bring some food home and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu would partake from this food. And every day before he would partake from this food, he would ask him, "Where did you earn this from?" And he would say, I've done this, I've done this. And one day Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu partook from that food without asking him. And the slave said, today you haven't asked me and you've taken one morsel. He said, hunger overtook me, but where did you earn this from? He said, before Islam, I was a sorcerer and I did magic from some people. And I met them today, so today they've paid me the money. And with that money, I bought this food. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, you've destroyed me. And the narration mentioned that he stuck his finger in his mouth and he tried to vomit and that one morsel wouldn't come out. And then he began to drink water until finally he vomited and that morsel came out. And somebody said to him, Abu Bakr, what's the big issue? It was only one morsel. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, I swear by Allah, if I had to give my life to take out that one morsel, I would have. This was the taqwa and the fear of Allah that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And they're saying, oh Abu Bakr, fear Allah. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, don't you think I fear Allah? Don't you think I'm answerable in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, he raised his hands to the sky and he said, oh Allah, I am making the Khalif the best of your creation. And he's told them, he said, go out and tell everybody, I am making Umar ibn Khattab the Khalif. And then he called Usman radiallahu anhu and he said, Usman, write that the next Khalif after me. And then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu became unconscious. And Usman radiallahu anhu was concerned that if the name of the Khalif is not written, there will be fitna. So he himself wrote the name Umar. And then when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu gained consciousness, Usman radiallahu anhu told him, I wrote the name Umar. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, you have done well. You have done well to write his name. He said, the next Khalif after me will be Umar. And then he called his daughter Aisha radiallahu anha. And he said, oh Aisha, since I've become a Khalif, what have been my wages from the Baytul Mal? And she said, 6,000 dirhams. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had a plot of land. And he sold that plot of land and he gave all that money back into the Baytul Mal. And then he asked, he said, what do I have left? What do I have in my possession? They said, you have one camel, you have one slave, and you have some clothes. This is all he had. And he said, call Umar and give him everything I have. When Umar radiallahu anhu came and they gave him that one camel, that one slave and those few clothes, Umar radiallahu anhu began to cry and he said, "Atabta khulafa abadak." He said, oh Abu Bakr, you will tire the Khalifs who come after you trying to follow you. So you will tire all those who will come after you. And this wasn't the first time that Umar radiallahu anhu said this. What would happen is that after the Fajr Salah, Abu Bakr would disappear. And Umar knew that this was a man of khair, he must be doing some good action. And he thought, let me go and follow him. And he followed him and he went to a house and he entered the house. And after a while, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came out of that house. And Umar radiallahu anhu, he went into that house and he saw an old woman, a blind woman in that house. And he asked her, he said, who's this man who comes to you? He said, I don't know who this man is, but he comes every day and he cleans my house and he cooks for me. And Abu Umar radiallahu anhu began to cry and he said, oh Abu Bakr, you will tire the Khalifas who will come after you. He's the Khalifa of the Mu'mineen, but he's cleaning for an old woman, he's cooking for an old woman. And this is why the Prophet ﷺ said, Sayyidul Qawmi Khadimuhum, the leader of any nation is not the chaudhry, is not the guy who is the big man, is the one who does the khidmah of society. Sayyidul Qawmi Khadimuhum. And this was Abu Bakr. Who Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, who with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam guaranteed Jannah on a number of occasions. The beloved of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what's he doing? He's cleaning for an old lady. He's cooking for an old lady. The man who was the strongest out of all the Sahaba, who was the strongest in the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidul Qawmi Khadimuhum. The leader of any nation is that one who serves them, that person who does their khidmat. And this was the realization. And this is why many people really believe, and this is a reality, many people believe that, you know, if you help other people, if you assist old people, you know, you're not macho enough. I swear by Allah, that man who takes an old lady across the street is more macho by Allah than that man who pops off other people. He's more macho in the eyes of Allah than that person who will shoot innocent people. Why? Because he understands his purpose in life. Because this was a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Upon occasion, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw an old lady, and she had these baskets, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Where are you going, old woman?" She said, "I want to go to the top of that mountain." And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam carried those baskets to the top of the mountain. And then she said, "Oh young man, you look like a very good young man. Let me give you advice. The reason I have left Makkah is that because in Makkah there is a young man who says that he's a prophet, and he swears at her idols. Keep away from that man." And the Prophet ﷺ began to smile, and he said, "Oh woman, I am that man. I am that man." And she said, "You're that person?" He said, "Yes." Then she said, "I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and you are his messenger." Is there any man who was more stronger than the Prophet ﷺ? Was there any man who was more stronger than Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu? But they did khidmah, because they understood the purpose of their lives. And then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he called Aisha radiallahu anha, and he said, "Oh Aisha, what day did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam pass away?" And she said, "He passed away on the Monday." And he said, "What is the day today?" She said, "It's Sunday." And he said, "I'm optimistic that I will also pass away on a Monday." And then when the next day came, he asked Aisha radiallahu anha, he said, "What's the day today?" And she said, "It's Monday." And he said, "Inshallah, I will pass away today." And then he asked her, "When did the Prophet ﷺ pass away?" And she said, "Before the sun reached his zenith." And exactly before the sun reached his zenith, this was the time that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu passed away. This was the time that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu passed away. And Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu mentioned that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam left this dunya, he had a cloth, he had a guy who was wearing a garment which he had 11 patches in it. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu left this dunya, he had a garment which had 13 patches in it. And when he was about to die, he told Aisha radiallahu anhu, "Wash these clothes and bury me in these." And Aisha radiallahu anhu began to cry, and she said, "Oh my father, we are affluent, we've got plenty of money. We'll buy you some other coffin." And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, "Those who are living, it's more befitting that they wear good clothes." And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu left this dunya on the day that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on the Monday. He died on the same time. This was the tawfiq that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to him. And where did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam die? He died lying upon the chest of Aisha radiallahu anha. And where did Abu Bakr die? He died upon the same place. And where was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu buried? He was buried next to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a narration, "Me, Abu Bakr and Umar are made from one teen, teen in wahid, from one source of dust, from one soil." And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that from the soil that a person is taken from, this is where he is buried. He's buried from the same soil that he's taken from. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the place between my rawdha and my pulpit is rawdhatun min riyad al-jannah, is a piece of Jannah. If Abu Bakr, Umar and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam were taken from the same soil and they went back to the same soil, and that soil from the rawdha of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the member of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is from Jannah, then this means that Abu Bakr, Umar and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam were created from the soil of Jannah. They were created from the soil of Jannah. And this is the honor that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had in this dunya. And let me tell you the honor that he had in the hereafter. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The first person who will be raised from his grave on the day of judgment will be myself, and then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu." And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Whoever I have done a favor upon, I have repaid that favor. Whoever did me a favor, I have repaid that favor, besides the favor of Abu Bakr. For Abu Bakr, Allah will repay that favor on the day of judgment." Allah will repay that favor on the day of judgment. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the first person for whom the scale will be erected for on the day of judgment will be Umar ibn Khattab. And the Sahaba knew the virtues of Abu Bakr, and they said, "What about Abu Bakr?" And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "For the likes of Abu Bakr, there are no scales." And let me tell you, if there was a scale, what would have been the case? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Lawuzina imanu Abi Bakr bi imani ahli al-ard la rajaha bi." If the iman of the entirety of humanity
was placed in one side of the scale, and just the iman of Abu Bakr was placed in the other side of the scale. The iman of Abu Bakr would be heavier than the entirety of humanity. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the first person who will come to me on the Hawdha Kawthar will be Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Abu Bakr will be my companion on the Hawdh like he was my companion in the cave. And then when you move on to Jannah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that on the day of judgment, those who prayed, there will be a door which will call those who prayed profusely. And then there will be those who did jihad, and there will be a door which will call the people of jihad and they will enter from it. And then there will be another door for those who gave sadaqah, and that door of sadaqah will call them. And then there will be another door, the door of Rayyan, which will call the people who were fasting. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, O Messenger of Allah, will there be any person that all the doors of Jannah will call? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes, Abu Bakr, wa anta huwa. And he said, yes, Abu Bakr, and you are that person that all the doors of Jannah will call. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on another occasion, he said that last night Jibreel grabbed my hand and he entered me into Jannah. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, O Messenger of Allah, O Messenger of Allah, only if I was with you, I could have seen Jannah. And the Prophet ﷺ said, Abu Bakr, glad tidings, for from my ummah, you will be the first one to enter into Jannah. And then after this, let me tell you, the greatest virtue for Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, really, is this. The Prophet ﷺ told Abu Bakr that, Abu Bakr, you have attained Ridwanul Akbar. And there were a group of people asked, O Messenger of Allah, what is Ridwanul Akbar? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when Abu Bakr will enter into Jannah, yatajalla Allahu lil mu'minina amma wa yatajalla li Abi Bakr khassa, that on the day of judgment, when the believers will go into Jannah, Allah will ask them, is there anything else that you desire for? And they will say, no, Allah, you have made our faces glow, you have given us Jannah, you have saved us from fire, what else could we want for? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will unveil himself and he will come in front of the believers. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that this will be more beloved to the believers than Jannah itself. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, on that day, يَتَجَلَّ اللَّهُ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ عَامَّةً وَيَتَجَلَّ لِأَبِي بَكْرَ خَاسَّةً, that on that day, Allah will come out for humanity once and then he will go back again. And then the second time, Rabbul Alameen will come out solely for the sake of Abu Bakr. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us amongst those who love and die for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite us in this dunya. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reunite us in Jannah for those. Subhanakallah wa bihamdika.